Thank you for tuning in to IGH260. Today's broadcast, lesson number 6 of week number 16, studying Matthew chapter 16, part of a one chapter per week, 260 week, 5-year long study of the New Testament. As we begin, these reminders. To access all of our materials, always free, click the word free at internationalgospelhour.com. To receive a list of these materials, just email us at free@ighradio.com. For text updates, text the word IGH free to 55222. That's IGHFREE, all one word. Text IGH free to 55222. Here are two great ways to study God's Word. First, a free self-paced online program. Get started by going to igh.worldbibleschool.org or click the online courses link at internationalgospelhour.com. Second, to study by mail, call this toll-free number 1-855-IGH-6988 to receive our free 30-lesson Bible study series. Or you can use the contact form at internationalgospelhour.com. Let's get into Matthew chapter 16. At the end of our last broadcast, we noted 6 ways that Jesus took the religious leaders to task for constantly asking him for more signs. First, Jesus said they reasoned poorly, assuming that Beelzebub worked against himself. Second, they denied that Jesus cast out demons by the power of the Spirit of God. Third, Jesus affirmed that he was greater than demons, thus even greater than Satan. Fourth, Jesus accused them of blaspheming the Spirit. Fifth, Jesus warned them that their words would either justify or condemn them. And sixth, Jesus told them that they were evil. What was their response to Jesus' rebuke? Remember, they had just witnessed Jesus heal the demon-possessed, blind, and mute man. So how did they respond? Teacher, we want to see a sign from you. How could they in good conscience ask for a sign? What possible sign could Jesus offer that would convince them? What he just did in their presence, they ascribed to Beelzebub, the prince of demons. What new sign, what additional miracle would change their minds? None. And that's why Jesus said, there's only one sign, the Jonah sign, the one that would be fulfilled when Jesus died, remained in the grave for 3 days, and then rose again. That's the final sign. And that would be a convincing one when it finally occurred. And though that's always what God through Christ intended, it's sad to see how stubbornly resistant the religious leaders were as they witnessed the many miracles that Jesus did in their presence while he was alive. Only the hardest of hearts could be so resistant. One final reminder before we move forward. What we just described was the account of the first time that Jesus was challenged to provide yet another sign. That took place in Matthew chapter 12. Jesus sharply rebuked his inquisitors in that context, and yet, 4 chapters later, we see the same thing happening again. They, the scribes and the Pharisees in the first setting, Matthew chapter 12, and the Pharisees and the Sadducees in the next setting, Matthew 16, they were not giving up that easily. They would continually harass and revile Jesus, not just until he died, but actually working to bring about his death. In Matthew 16, verses 5 through 7, Jesus left the Pharisees and the Sadducees and traveled to the other side of the Sea of Galilee, where he joined his disciples. The text tells us, in what first appears to be an incidental matter, that the disciples had forgotten to bring any bread, any food with them. The availability of food, especially in the setting of the miraculous feeding of the multitudes, comes up several times in Matthew's account. It's never mentioned, however, except that it has something to do with the immediate storyline. In this context, their incidental oversight, failing to bring bread or food, feeds into the larger narrative that Jesus had in mind. Jesus just left the Sadducees and the Pharisees before he met the disciples. That experience, where the Sadducees and the Pharisees pushed Jesus to provide even more and more convincing signs, was on Jesus' mind as he spoke to the disciples. His words, "Beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees," were made against the backdrop of that immediately preceding discussion. The disciples, however, heard what Jesus said, but because they were not with Jesus when he spoke with the Sadducees and the Pharisees, they did not have the same point of connection that Jesus had. Thus, they assumed that Jesus' remark was made because they had taken no food with them. That makes sense, but only in this very limited way. The disciples forgot bread, and Jesus used the word leaven, a key component in bread. Beyond that, however, there really was no sense in which Jesus and the disciples were connecting here. But as we shall see, the way in which Jesus introduced the topic about to be discussed definitely caught the attention of the apostles. We shall also see that it brought a stern rebuke from the Lord, and we shall see why. In Matthew 16, verses 8 through 12, to this point in the chapter, though it might initially appear to be a bit disjointed, there really has been a singular theme. The Pharisees and the Sadducees tested Jesus by asking for a sign. Jesus took them to task for even asking for that sign. And then Jesus noted this inconsistency in their thinking, which was reflective of an attitudinal problem on their part. You draw reasoned conclusions from the evidence of the physical world with regard to the weather, but somehow you are unable to use the same reasoning abilities to draw spiritual conclusions from this same physical world. Jesus' point, they missed something in the world around them when they came asking Jesus for a sign. What exactly did they miss? They overlooked, and thus they missed, the significance of every miracle or every sign that Jesus had done publicly and in their very midst. We will not take the time to look at every miracle or sign that Jesus had done up to this point, but we will highlight a specific type of miracle, healing, in Matthew's Gospel in the first 15 chapters. In Matthew 4:23, the first passage that summarizes Jesus' work as preaching, teaching, and healing, that text not only notes that Jesus was healing all kinds of sickness and all kinds of disease among the people, it also notes that because he did so, his fame spread throughout the region. As Jesus continued to heal everywhere he went, more and more people would hear of those miracles, and more people would bring the sick to Jesus to be healed. There are at least 16 distinct references to Jesus' miraculous healing in Matthew chapter 1 through chapter 15. Many of those, like this first reference in Matthew 4, refer not to a single instance of healing, but rather to mass healings. The religious leaders, the scribes, the Pharisees, and the Sadducees, they were not ignorant of this fact. Jesus healed the centurion's servant in Matthew chapter 8. And then later in that chapter, Matthew 8:16, the text tells us, when evening had come, they brought to him many who were demon-possessed, and he cast out the spirits with a word and healed all who were sick. In Matthew 9:35, another passage that tells us that Jesus' threefold ministry involved preaching, teaching, and healing, that text notes this, "Then Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every sickness and every disease among the people." In Matthew 10:1, Jesus, when he had called his 12 disciples to him, he gave them power over unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal all kinds of sickness and all kinds of disease. Matthew chapter 10, verse 8, repeats that same thought. In Matthew 12, starting in verse 10, Jesus healed a man on the Sabbath in a very public way. The Pharisees were present on that occasion. But rather than expressing faith in Jesus, at least as a healer, they went out and conspired against him how to destroy him. Matthew 12, verse 14. Because Jesus realized they were plotting against him, he withdrew, but he was followed by great multitudes. Matthew 12, 15 says, "And he healed them all." In Matthew 12:22, the text that we just recently discussed, Jesus healed the demon-possessed blind and mute man again in a very public way. The Pharisees, yet again, rather than coming to faith in Jesus even as a healer, accused him on that occasion as having done so by the prince of demons. In Matthew 14:14, when Jesus saw the multitude, he healed their sick. He healed the Canaanite woman in Matthew 15:28. And finally, as Jesus saw great multitudes again, he healed them, Matthew 15:30. Those are the healing references only through Matthew 15, immediately ending where our study this week takes up. If we continued beyond this point, into the latter chapters of Matthew's Gospel, we would see even more instances of Jesus' healing. Jesus was, therefore, very much aware of the shortcomings of the Pharisees and the Sadducees' line of thought, here encapsulated in the word leaven. Leaven, of course, filters through everything that it touches in the baking process. In some contexts, leaven, when used to reflect good teaching, it presents positively. And then, in other cases, when it reflects bad teaching and bad influence, it presents negatively. This setting was definitely a negative presentation of leaven. Jesus' previous experience with the Pharisees and the Sadducees prompted him to make a similar point to the disciples. They also missed something. What they missed was nowhere as big as what the Sadducees and the Pharisees had missed, but they still missed something. And both misses were indicative of a faith less than what faith was supposed to be, what faith was designed to be. Where do we see that? Jesus told the disciples that they had little faith. Here's the context in which Jesus said that. O you of little faith, why do you reason among yourselves because you have brought no bread? Do you not yet understand or remember the 5 loaves of the 5,000 and how many baskets you took up, nor the 7 loaves of the 4,000 and how many large baskets you took up? How is it you do not understand that I did not speak to you concerning bread, but to beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and Sadducees? Then they understood that he did not tell them to beware of the leaven of bread, but of the doctrine of the Pharisees and Sadducees. Matthew 16:8-12. In our next broadcast, we will take up at this point and continue our study of Matthew chapter 16. This reminder as we close, to enroll in our free, self-paced online Bible study, go to igh.worldbibleschool.org. We hope that you can join us as we study God's Word together in our next broadcast.